Your ass better call somebody.
When you pull back the curtain, look under the hood.
You gotta give it that fuck good. Spent all that night here.
I'm like, I'm good. Like, I'm out.
I just came for the boobies.
Hey, what's poppin', everybody?
You're Mr. Feel Good. I'm Mr. Shit on Everyone's Hopes and Dreams.
I want to thank me for believing in me.
Often imitated, never replicated.
It's the balance of life, my friend.
I'd like to take this time to apologize to absolutely nobody.
Don't fuck this up. Count on you.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the 40 Chess Dynasty Football Podcast. So glad you could join us. First off, foremost, my apologies for last week. We missed it. Your boy came down with a touch of the flu. It was borderline death. I was on my death. That's what we're going to go with. It was the worst thing ever. But, Maddie, how we doing, man? We missed last week. I missed you. But it was for the greater good, and the greater good being my health. So it was not going to cooperate. I was probably going to vomit on air, live.
And this would be the time you vomited without having a 266 milli pouch in the lip, right?
Yeah,
this would be the first time.
That'd be the first time ever.
But, I mean, when you texted me last week, I was like, no, you get your rest, brother, because I just – whatever's in the air right now, whatever's floating in the air is just disgusting. And it's just – people are sick, and it's just like, oh, man. So I'm glad you get rested. I'm glad you pulled the old Russian sweat box. We talked about it pre-show, and you're feeling ready to go.
Yes, I did miss you.
Had to
sweat it out in the sauna. I'm bougie enough to have my own sauna, which coincidentally, if we're talking about illnesses, I bought during COVID, right? I was heavy into the Joe Rogan podcast during COVID time because there was nothing else to do, right? Mm-hmm. And he had somebody on, a doctor. I'm trying to remember her name. Dr. Rhonda, I believe, but she was talking
Rhonda
about
Patrick,
that.
I believe.
Rhonda Patrick, there it is, man. Fellow
Jerry guy. Big Jerry guy over here.
Yeah, she was talking about the benefits of saunaing and, you know, all the Swedish people who do their saunas and hot and cold therapy and heat shock proteins and cold shock proteins. So she sold me. I was like, well, fuck it. There's one way if this COVID thing's fucking, you know, really, really real and you're worried about it, give me a sauna. I also got a UVB bulb tanning bed, you know, so you can get that vitamin D, even though it was during COVID, right? So went on a little health kick, but I'm glad I had it because it sure helped. It made that flu only a one day event, thank God.
And next time you're in an MMA fight, you can cut weight.
Which will be never. I'm a lover, not a fighter, buddy. only fight when I have to. Shame very often. Don't put yourself in that situation, but it happens, man. Today at work, actually, I thought I was going to get into a fight. It was nuts.
Interesting.
Yeah, I've never had somebody belittle me to my face like that before. And you know me, I got a pretty long... Yeah, I'm not a superior.
Oh, that's even worse then.
You want to call him an equal?
Then you can whoop that ass.
Yeah, and he's a small boy. Small boy. He tossed
off
the
fucking... smallest dogs have the biggest bark, but jeez.
About to get tossed off the second floor, my guy. You got a really long fuse, but you were burning it pretty fast. All right. Well, let's get into the topic of tonight. We're going to talk about the rookie class. Again, imagine that. Who knew? Well, you know what is fucking insane to me? And maybe it's just because of this. First off, the college football expansion playoff system, loved it, right? Get all them fucking teams in, man. Like, make it 16. I don't give a shit. But 12 was perfect. 12 was perfect. Extra college football, nobody's going to complain. I think that was universally received as a good move. It was. Now, maybe this whole, like, win your conference and get a bye thing is, you know, up for debate.
That's
some work to do. But maybe it's the fact that the college football playoff was expanded the way it is and just kind of how it fell in line with the NFL playoffs. The fucking combine's here already. Like, we just had the Super Bowl, and it's like, fuck combines here, man.
That's right.
It's holy shit.
The all-star events have come and gone. The combine starts next week.
Fucking insane. It's unbelievable. Dude, the timeline. It's
keep busy.
The only thing I'll say about it that I don't like, because we all know this time. If you're a diehard, you listen to this, you know the time. The combine, the rookie drafts, doing our rookie drafts, you know, rookie mini camps, OTAs, that kind of thing. Free agency, all the shit we get to enjoy in the offseason for Dynasty. We're on an accelerated track to get to July faster than I want to, and July is just a absolutely pitiful month for me. Like, I'm not a giant baseball fan anymore. You know, they lost me years ago, so there's literally nothing for me to do after the NBA Finals. I'm just like, oh, fuck. Like, I don't get shit till August.
Start watching baseball with your boy.
Now, with Schumer being up here for the Super Bowl and us watching UFC 332 or whatever the hell it was, 313. I don't know. I don't know the numbers. I'm not a big enough fan, but we watched it together. It was fucking awesome. I might be back into UFC fighting, man.
Like, UFC's good. Hockey's fun right now. Hockey's getting hot. Man, I don't know if, I don't know if you ever watched wrestling, but wrestling's back, Mike.
Yeah.
Nah. Wrestling's back.
Yeah, I quit at a great time, you know? Attitude era.
That is
I'm out. You know, I experienced the best and I'm out. Like, you're never going to top it. I'm sorry.
It's good right now, though, man. Wrestling is full on.
Yeah. We're just getting that early TV watching. I'm watching Snowfall, by the way. We're five minutes in. We haven't said a thing of substance yet. That's all right. It's our fucking show. We do what we want.
That's for sure. I mean, that is 4D, baby.
Yeah. Well, I started watching Snowfall. I don't know if you saw that one or not.
I haven't seen it. Is that the... The rapper? Is it rappers?
No. So I'm pretty sure the whole show is done. They've already had their series finale. It might have been six seasons, started in 2017-ish, somewhere around there. It was on FX. Basically what it is it's following the beginnings of crack, the crack epidemic. Yeah, so it's following one young drug dealer who ends up going to like Oakland and... kind of comes across crack where it's a real niche thing. Like one guy shows him how to fucking make it, and then he comes back and he builds this crack empire, and it just explodes in Los Angeles. Another story point they're following, like a couple of CIA guys who are running Colombian cocaine into the country and then exchanging the money back to buy guns and taking them back down to fund the Contras. I don't know if you remember that from your history lesson.
Yes, sir.
Nicaragua. I always fuck that country's name up. And then they're also following like the beginnings of like the Mexican cartel in the United States.
All in one show?
Yeah, yeah. And it's
sounds kind of fire though. It's good?
Fucking entertaining. It's good. It's really good. Really good.
Yeah, I think I've really heard much about it.
I only started watching it maybe a day or two ago, but I'm already through a season and a half. Yeah, I think I'm halfway through the second season.
Good Are they hour long?
Some of them. It was also one of those that was kind of, I think it was on TV to begin with. So before like streaming really took over. So you know how that's kind of, they might have set it for an hour. Yeah, 43 minutes because you got 17 minutes of commercial breaks, you know, in that hour. But good show. Recommend it. It's on Hulu. Hulu's got all the good FX stuff.
Hulu.
If you're looking for something to watch, I was just happened. I was like, hey, what the fuck's this about? Watch the first episode. I'm like, hooked. Man.
Ooh, it gets you in the first episode. All right. Bet.
Get you, man. Watch the pilot. I think somebody may have recommended it to. Might have been Fizz. So shout out to Fizz if it was. We talk about so much bullshit like that all the time. Right? Might have been him. I don't remember. Somebody might have recommended it, but I'm in. Die hard now.
I'll check that bad boy out.
Snowfall.
Great Snowfall show. FX Hulu. Let's do it, baby.
Yeah,
and that is this episode of what we're watching. We'll catch you guys next week.
Yeah, there's the opening segment. 8 minutes long. You're welcome. Now you're all caught up in our lives. That's what happens. All right. Rookie class, Maddie. You want to talk about some sleepers, some landmines, and just overall strategy of what we're doing as contenders and rebuilders in this class. So let's talk with some sleepers. You got any sleepers that kind of come to mind? I'm still early in my process. We are slowly but surely getting through film sessions. Patreon.com/SouthHarmon Thursday nights. And if you can't make it live on Thursday nights with the rest of the people, my man Redward's doing a fantastic job screen recording and posting them up afterwards. So we just watched Luther Burden. Mm-hmm. Got through him. Watched his film. Not too bad. Not too bad of a player. It's kind of nice to see him. But we're still churning. We're still churning through. We're going to watch a little Jackson Dart and Trey Harris this week, upcoming on Thursday night. So interested to see what all the hubbub is about, you know? I've heard Christian Watson comparisons with Trey Harris. You got the Jackson Dart talk about, is he going as high as 6 or 7 in this draft? So be interesting to put the film on and see what we see.
Yeah, so far, I mean, I don't want to get too deep into the sleeper breakdown. And the reason is, Mike, we got a rookie guide that is coming out here at South Harmon. You can pre-order that now at southharmonff.com. So we're going to have a whole bunch of breakdowns. And, you know, this isn't a show about player takes. This is a show about strategy. But I do want to touch on one player. And I'm going to pick a receiver. Because in my opinion, I think it's fool's gold to pick a sleeper in the running back class. There's 25 motherfuckers that could play in the NFL. Mm-hmm. They're going to be, you know, we're at the point now at running back. I wouldn't be shocked if DJ Giddens is a productive member of an NFL roster. I am at running back 18, and it's no fault of his. I just came off his player write-up for the rookie guide. Again, you can get that pre-ordered at southharmonff.com. 6'1", 212, 1,300 rushing yards last year. He's a beast. So I'm going to go over receiver. And I want to talk about one player that stuck out to me when I looked at his analytical profile. But then when I saw what he was doing down in Mobile, kind of solidified, I think he is a sleeper for me. And that's Kyle Williams from Wazoo. 5'10", 180 pounds. So he's a bit smaller guy, but 1,100 yards last year, had 14 touchdowns, scored about 21 fantasy points per game at the collegiate level. He checks all the boxes analytically, like I mentioned, big-time yak numbers, good yards per route run metrics. And I think he's going to test really well in Indianapolis next week. I think he's a guy that could potentially run in the 4.3s. He's shown to be pretty shifty. The route running needs a bit it needs work, but that is the case for a lot of these running backs, receivers in this class. But we saw in Mobile just his ability to kind of shake, rattle, and roll, get off the defender, really, really quick off the line, good first step. And he's one of these receivers that might not get, you know, the hype, but could be that sneaky top 50 type receiver guy that, you know, like Jaden Reed. Remember when Jaden Reed came out, we weren't sure where he was going to go, but he had a good Senior Bowl, and boom, he was picked by the Packers right around pick 50 overall, and it was kind of off to the races from there, and he's been able to make his mark as a kick returner, which got him on the field, and now he's just really becoming the most reliable target for Jordan Love. Will that be the case for a guy like Kyle Williams? I don't know if that will be, but in a class that really just feels like pick your poison after the top 4 or 5. You know, this is a guy I'm excited about. I got him inside my top 10. He's my wide receiver 9 in my rookie ranks. And he's just a name that I'm going to keep an eye on. And I like him better at this point than the Elik Ayomanors or the Jalen Royals or the Savion Williams, the bigger guys that, you know, they come with those red flags that tend to bust more than they boom at the NFL level. And I just want to put my stock behind the Kyle Williams. And you know, our rookie guide is going to be catered to the pre-NFL draft drafters in Dynasty. You know, that's kind of what we preach here in terms of what we find to be the most fun and the way that a lot of our leagues run. So we're going to cater to our crowd. And I think Kyle Williams is that guy that you'll get some value in pre-NFL draft. So he's going to be a sleeper that I wanted to bring up real quick.
Well, I like the Kyle Williams, man. I know you've been hyping him up in the Discord every time there's something good that was going on at the Senior Bowl. You're posted in there. DB jumped on the fucking train, man. Shout out to him, too, for all the incredible work he's doing on the rookie guide. All DB's grades, man. Love to see it. But, yeah, Kyle Williams, plenty of hype. Plenty of hype in the South Harmon community. I don't know about everywhere else. We love them over here.
We love them.
That's an interesting one, too. And I do really agree with your overarching point, right? A lot of people are going to have sleeper running backs. They're going to talk about, you know, Ollie Gordon's a sleeper. What the fuck? All right. First off, like Maddie said, there's like 20 plus of these dudes. Like none of them are going to be sleepers, right? You told me any one of those 20 going to have a good NFL career and good for us in Dynasty. I believe you. I believe it. These dudes can ball. Wide receivers, on the other hand, from this show, from everything else, a little thin. A little thin. About as thin as I'd like to be, you know? I'd like to slim down. I look really good at that weight. wide receiver.
That's about 5% body fat, you know, slimmed out right there, maybe, the receivers.
Yeah, Jesus. So I like that. You're giving us a receiver. I got a guy, for me, also at receiver, my little sleeper. And here's the crazy thing. I don't think he's making our draft guide, Matty. I didn't see him on the list. That's how far down he is. But give you a little sneak peek, something people in the draft guide ain't going to get. It's a little sleeper for me, a little nugget in there. Torrey Horton. I love me some Torrey Horton. Love me some Torrey Horton. And this all stems from 2 years ago when they played Colorado and Travis Hunter. Massive game, televised. Everybody's watching that one late at night on a Saturday night because there's nothing else to do after, you know, 8 p.m. We watched that Colorado State game. That fucking game was going till like 2 in the morning my time. It went on forever. Torrey Horton, though, I was like, who the fuck is this guy? Who is this guy making all these plays, right? Colorado State, never even heard of him. What I'll say about him is what I love. Perfect at the NFL at the next level in the slot role. A lot of these guys that are getting these massive amount of targets out of the slot because they're mismatches, Torrey Horton excels at everything that you could want out of the slot. Now, I think he can win outside, and I think we saw that at Colorado State, but the skill set he possesses that makes me love him is that run after catch ability. He is very, very nuanced in his route, his ability to get separation quick and early. You saw that when he went up against Travis Hunter. He beat him off the line, got away from him by a step, and then after he gets the ball in his hands, the kid knows what he's doing with it. Kid knows what he's doing with it. One cut, upfield, gone. Like, he knows what he's doing. I think he's a plus athlete at the wide receiver position. We're not going to get to find out, though. We're not going to get confirmation on it. Unfortunately for him, last year he suffered a season-ending knee injury. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard any update on whether or not he will be doing anything at the combine. I would assume not. With these college knee injuries, a lot of times they'll say he's out with a season-ending knee injury, and it could be anything from a meniscus repair to the kid tore his ACL. But they don't have to tell you, so they don't, right? Like, they keep it pretty mum. I'm sure it'll probably come out if he is at the combine. If he's there going through medical checks with NFL teams, we'll get a little bit more clarity on the injury situation. But by all accounts, he was supposed to be good for this upcoming season, would have made a full recovery. And I think it's one of those guys that I want to keep an eye on. Now, when we talk about sleepers, I'm not saying that you need to go out and spend a second or third round pick on Torrey Horton. I don't even know what the NFL draft capital is going to be. But say this guy goes somewhere in round 5 or 6, and we're like, oh, well, that's kind of interesting. That was a name that I knew. Mm-hmm. Torrey Horton's one of those guys that I'm willing to draft in the 5th round of every single rookie draft I have and end up with 100% shares, similar to Rasheen Ali last year at the running back position. Now, that didn't work out for me, but the cost of acquisition was next to nothing.
That's right.
But this is one of these guys where if you told me in 3 years, it's kind of this, where Maddie and I are having these exact conversations about him, like we were talking about Khalil Shakir a couple months ago, I'd be like, I can fucking see it. I can fucking Absolutely. See it. Just a nice slot receiver, reliable, and really good after the catch. And it's kind of crazy. When I look at Torrey Horton, with me being as out as I was on Khalil Shakir, Maddie, I think it's your influence on me now. I'm like, is this the next Khalil Shakir for me? Is this the guy that bump. I'm going to stand for a while, right? So, a little Torrey Horton action for me. That's my sleeper. We're not going to have a nice fancy write-up on him. Not going to be highlighted. I don't think Adam's out there putting together a dynamite Torrey Horton graph.
Mike, you sitting down for this?
Go ahead.
Torrey Horton is on the list.
Who did the write-up?
Mike, are you sitting down?
Yeah.
It's still unaccounted for. He's one of the last that's unaccounted for. If you want to take him. I've been, you know, going through a lot of these, kind of knocking a lot of them out, and I keep seeing Torrey Horton. I do like Horton as well. Horton, for me, I thought if he had as good of a 24 campaign as he did in 23, I thought this would be, you know, I thought he would be in the Matthew Golden range, to be quite honest. Yeah. He was that type of producer in 23. You know, he's got the speed, good catch radius at 6'3". And again, when you're talking about these sleepers at wide receiver, don't sleep on the fact that he has punt return experience, because that, if you are a 5th-round pick, might be the lifeline that gets these guys on the field, gets these guys in good graces with the coaches, and gives them the opportunity to go ahead and be a playmaker like Khalil Shakir. Shakir, you know, they just kept trying to push him down the depth chart, whether it was drafting Keon Coleman or, you know, before it was Stephon Diggs was in town, they let Diggs go, they let Gabe Davis go. Then all of a sudden they trade for Amari Cooper, and it just, Khalil Shakir just kept rising to the top. A guy like Horton has that type of skill set. So I'm glad you did bring him up, and I'm glad that I was able to let you know that if you want, yeah, if you want to write him up, the big dog could take it.
Just made my night, man. Just made my night. We're playing with house money, it seems. House money.
Yeah, baby.
I'm going to have to give me a Torrey Horton write up here so I can just let all the glow out. And by the way, there'll be much more than what the hell I said on air here. That's just a little teaser. That's a little teaser here. We're trying to get through this thing. All right, Maddie. What about some landmines? You want to talk about a couple landmines stick out to you? Because I got a few.
Yeah.
I definitely got a few.
For me, the landmine that kind of sticks out for me is Xavier Restrepo. Because after the Senior Bowl, I feel like he's kind of been put in that territory where some people have him, you know, at their wide receiver 5 or 6, talking about how he's just going to be a lock third round pick and ready to go in our rookie drafts. And I watch Restrepo and I just don't see a guy who does really anything well. And I see a guy who's producing at a decent rate at the University of Miami, but he's been playing college football like 6 years. I mean, with experience, you know, you do gain a leg up for against competition. You know, 5'9", 200 pounds. He's kind of built awkwardly. Not really, you know, it kind of looks small for 200 pounds, I'd say.
Yeah, and he looks tiny. You could never tell me he was 200 pounds.
That's right. And he's not a great route runner for being like a slot guy. And you know, it looks like a lot of the times you look at some of the All-22, you look at some of the film and you just see his big plays come when he's kind of wide open up the seam. It just seems pretty rudimentary, kind of easy stuff to convert at the collegiate level. And I don't know if he's going to be this wide receiver kind of pickup that some are starting to bill him as. And I kind of look at him as a bit of a landmine. And we'll see what the opportunity costs. We'll see what it costs to get him on your team when these rookie drafts really start kicking off, pre-NFL draft. But if you're telling me you got to use a late second, early third for Restrepo, or I can wait to the fourth for a Horton, or wait for a mid third for a Jalen Royals, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. I think that Restrepo is a complete landmine right now.
Hey, I can't hate that one either. I saw the measurables come in, threw him in the 5'9 bucket, which is just kind of my own personal thing for wide receivers. You can overcome it, right? Like we've seen the Zay Flowers, you know, there's some examples. There's not a lot of small wide receivers, you know, at the 5'9 range. This is also my problem with Jalen Knoll out of Iowa State, also because he's a Cyclone. Let's keep it 100 here. But this is also part of my problem. Now, the difference between Restrepo and Knoll, I would say the production, especially if you look at Knoll last season, the production is about similar. Mm-hmm. The difference is they both went to the Senior Bowl. I saw ridiculous amounts of hype coming out about Knoll. Ridiculous amounts.
That's right.
Right. You know, we had Debro on and he talked about him glowingly. I didn't hear a whole lot of negatives on Restrepo. I just didn't hear a whole lot of positives. Like it was underwhelming. There just wasn't a whole lot. Now, if you go to X and search it, just kind of like every player at the Senior Bowl, you're going to find 4 or 5 people who talk him up. Like, what a great Senior Bowl. What a great route. And you're going to see highlights, but you'll see that for everybody, right? Like,
that's right.
It's just the way the Senior Bowl goes, right? People find the guys that they like. So I don't take it as gospel, but like I didn't hear the constant drumbeat from multiple people, right? Like if I love Derek and I always respect his opinion on everything, like that's my guy. But if Derek was the only guy out there hyping up Knoll, I'd be like, okay, like what did you see that nobody else saw, Derek? Like you really got to fill me in on this kind of thing. But it wasn't just him. It's like Thor's out there tweeting about him. You know, people I just kind of follow on Twitter, on X, mm-hmm. about the Senior Bowl who are in the draft space were talking about Knoll. He didn't have any of that. Like, I didn't see one, anybody that I really follow closely tweet about it or say anything good about him. And, you know, even on some of those, you know, tweets that I search up and you see the highlight, I'm like, okay, that's it. That's it. And then I go look at things like his ADOT. Like, is his analytical profile, does it tell me something that I don't need to know? And I go and I look at his ADOT and I'm like, this is like Malachi Corley shit. And this kind of feels like all the reasons I hated Malachi Corley. Like, and I was completely against drafting him, even though there's plenty of people who are in on him. A lot of people loved Malachi Corley last year. Even when he got the draft capital, the Jets, a couple of them convinced me. You know, I took a few shares of Malachi Corley in the third round, you know, when I usually was taking somebody else. Just, it really feels like a dude I'm just going to stay away from, too. Like, I'm good, Maddie. Like, I don't talk to me in the fourth, fifth round and see what my options are there post-NFL draft with what his, you know, end up draft capital ends up being. But as of right now, if you told me you're doing a rookie draft right now today, I would end up with very few Xavier Restrepo shares. And I don't think I'm going to be mad about it at all. Like, I'm
good. Yeah, me either. Me either. You know, the this type of build, they usually go down to Mobile and have their moments. I mean, it's, I'm not going to say it's easier to cover, you know, the Jaden Higgins, the big body guys. But when you're doing the one-on-one drills, it's certainly not easy to cover the small shifty guys. And we saw Tez Johnson kind of ball. Like I mentioned, Kyle Williams had his moments of getting ridiculous separation, being short and shifty, quick, that type of stuff. And Restrepo was just, it was just crickets. It just didn't seem like he was impressing much down at the Senior Bowl.
I'm going to give you another wide receiver that's a landmine, a lot bigger name, a lot bigger name. And I'm going to be pretty vocal with this one. And people can say what they will. You know, it's for fucking clicks or listens or, you know, whatever the fuck it is. But anybody who's a real part of South Harmon knows, like, if I tell you something, I truly believe it. I'm not just pulling your fucking chain. I'm not going to tell you I don't like this guy, I'm not taking him anywhere. And then you look and I see that I got 60% ownership. Like, fuck out of here, okay? We know those kind of people. Don't listen to those fucking idiots. If I tell you, like, I'm fading them, I'm fading them, you know? That's and right. I'll lay out the... You do a rookie draft with me right now in a league, you're like, damn, he wasn't lying. He wasn't lying. He didn't take this guy until, you know, the league forced him to, right? Like, so...
Well, if people want to know, you know, proof in the pudding, go back a couple episodes when we did our rookie draft here on the 4D chess. Because I think I know who you're talking about.
It's Tet McMillan for me. Tet McMillan for me. I just sat down and did my rookie rank, so I'll give you a sneak peek. Just one of them. I put him at wide receiver 4. 4, Matty. Down there. Like, I truly believe it. He's
with Hunter in those ranks?
Hunter's in the ranks. We can talk about this one, too, quickly. Just quickly. And then I'll get right back to the landmine. The combine news with Travis Hunter coming out. I didn't say it at the time. I was also dealing with goddamn flu. Otherwise, I would have loved to just come home and record a fucking live reaction video where I just dumped on the Dynasty community for their bullshit. The Travis Hunter news came out about the NFL combine people, which is a, by the way, in case you guys don't know, it's a collection of scouts that are the ones who do the selection for the combine. They're the ones who pick the players to come in. They're the ones who pick what positions they're going to work out, or they're going to list them as. Let me be very clear. List them as. Doesn't mean none of that shit that came out about Travis Hunter being listed as a DB at the combine was anything from Travis Hunter's camp, was anything from his agent, was anything from him, was anything to say that he's not going to do wide receiver drills at the combine, that he's not going to get drafted as a wide receiver. None of that. It was a group of scouts who do the combine who said, Travis Hunter, we're going to list him at DB. We think that's the position. They didn't do an and or. They just said fucking DB. But it's nothing from Travis Hunter's camp. So the news that came out is also just part of the cycle. It's post-Super Bowl. It's rookie season. Mm-hmm. People grab it. They fucking take it. They run with it. I saw wild shit all the way from I'm taking him off my rookie draft board. Like, it's done. It's over with. Like, people hitting the fucking eject button and panic. And I'm like, why? What the fuck for? You know what for? It's because it's a slow season. You got nothing else to talk about. And Travis Hunter's the hot name. So let me go fire off this fucking tweet about, I told y'all he's going to be a DB. You know, like taking him off my rookie board. Nothing fucking changed for me, Maddie. I still view it as a real strong possibility that Travis Hunter decides he wants to be a wide receiver full time. We haven't been told different. Until I'm actually told different. And even after I'm told different. There will be a fade if I'm told different, but it's not going to be, I'm not taking him off my fucking board. right?
No.
There's a long ways until September and we actually get NFL football. And we see whatever team drafts them, the Browns, the Patriots, the fucking whoever, takes them, how they deploy them. And you know what? You know what else could happen? They could deploy him as a cornerback only, weeks 1, 2, and 3. People are going to fucking drop him in their fantasy leagues, do whatever, like it's over. Somebody just picks him up on a whim. Week 4 and 5, they're like, you know what? We need help on offense, man. Come play fucking wide receiver full time. We got another corner. We're just going to slide in. You know, how do you feel about catching touchdown passes all day? Right? And you're going to be sick to your stomach. So I'm not going to hit the eject button on Travis Hunter. I won't hit the eject button on him until he plays his entire rookie year as a cornerback only, you know, and gets like an early rookie fucking extension in 3 years. That he's the highest paid cornerback in NFL history, whatever it is. And then I'll be like, fucking
I don't want to play receiver.
Yeah. Like, I'm out of it. I'm following in Deion's footsteps. I'm just going to be prime time. Right? Whatever.
Yeah.
So, I thought it was much to do about nothing. So, back on topic by landmines, Travis Hunter's my wide receiver one. No question about it. Tier Vizzle. Tier
one. I haven't moved him down.
There's only been one wide receiver. Watch Burden, Tet, Travis Hunter of this class so far. In depth. There's only one wide receiver out of that group that I went, wow. Wow. This dude could be a top 10 wide receiver in the fucking NFL. Easy. I can see it. It was Travis Hunter. So Tet's at 4. He's in tier 2. He's with, you know, Burden, Nabuka, and Tet. That's who makes up my tier 2 wide receivers. But he's at 4. And I'm telling you, if I'm in a rookie draft right now, I'm drafting Burden and I'm drafting Nabuka ahead of Tet. I'm pushing the button 100 times out of 100 before I'm pushing the button on Tet. If you see me push the button on Tet, it's because I'm trying to trade him. I'm trying to trade. If I'm in your draft and I draft Tet McMillan, believe I'm trying to capitalize on some sort of fucking hype where I can trade him. That's it.
OTB immediately.
I would rather have Burn. I would rather have Ibuka.
I mean, that's interesting. So I'm not quite there in terms of having Ibuka ahead of him, but I have him at my wide receiver 3, and I will give you all the credit in the world. You put the poison pill on the table. I have kind of... you ever watch the show Friends?
Yes. Yep.
Is it Friends? Actually, it might have been How I Met Your Mother this moment. You ever watch How I Met Your Mother?
Most of that I've watched, thankful to like TikTok and Instagram Reels, man. I never actually watched a full episode of the show, but I feel like I've seen the whole show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
TikTok is great in that way. But I think it's How I Met Your Mother. There's an episode where... they call it the breaking the glass moments. That once you break the glass, you can't unsee it. It's like this ick that just like immediately settles in once the glass is broken. You broke the glass for me on Tet McMillan. And now when I watch the film, you know, the analytical profile pops. It does. So he's going to be everyone's darling in their models. He pops in my model. He was the 3rd ranked receiver in the model I put together as well. But on tape, he does profile a little too closely to the wide receiver that I tend to despise, the guys that get a lot of success bullying slot corners in college, can't really win on the boundary, might not be able to win at the NFL on the outside either. So I'm starting to pick up what you're putting down. I'm starting to sour quite a bit on McMillan, and it's not going to take a lot for me to move Egbuka ahead, I guess, because I've always loved Emeka Egbuka's skill set. I know he's a slot guy, but I think he could be a power slot guy, and I think he still has that range of outcomes like that Chris Olave. Chris Olave was supposed to be, you know, he's just a slot guy. Garrett Wilson, just a slot guy. Nope, they can get separation on the outside, and they've proven to be number one wide receivers. I think Egbuka still has that in his range of outcomes. I still think he's, I don't know if he's a better pass catcher overall than JSN, but I do think it could be a little bit more successful on the outside than a JSN. So I don't think you're far off here, but I'd love to hear exactly the reason. Like, what was the moment where you saw, or the highlight, or what was it that you saw on film about Tet that you just went, yuck?
I wouldn't say there's one, all right? There wasn't one. Now, the first thing, I got poison-pilled. I don't know how many people have checked this out, but Todd McShay's podcast he has on the NFL draft right now is just fucking cooking. And the film breakdown, again, shout out TikTok for putting me onto this shit.
That's what I see. Yeah, I see it on TikTok.
They did a breakdown of Tet, you know, months ago where they were talking about him, you know. And the assumption was, you know, we heard from multiple people in our Discord, you know, tank for Tet, that kind of thing. Yep. Right? Like that was the thing. When they put out that pill about a lot of NFL GMs are convinced that he can win against NFL corners on the outside. Like they're really not. What does he do that is so special that gets him that separation? And you think about all the good wide receivers. And somebody pretty smart in the game once said that wide receivers, you know, they can get separation in multiple ways, right? You can get separation off the line with your release, right? And then mm-hmm. when I think about greatest releases, you think like Devontae Adams. Devontae Adams has an incredible release off the line. Yep. Like you can't press or jam this man. Like you just can't. You're going to get fucking embarrassed. You got route technicians like Justin Jefferson is going to fall into that category. Jerry Jeudy to an extent falls into that category. Calvin Ridley, like some of these Amari Cooper. Mm-hmm. Some of these wide receivers win just by being ridiculous route technicians. They have no flaws in their route running game. They don't round shit off. They make tight fucking cuts and turns. Boom. You can win with speed. You can get separation with speed. You want to think like Tyreek Hill and Xavier Worthy, like dudes who can just fucking run past you, right?
Yeah.
And then you got guys who win with physicality, like the jump ball kind of separation, right? Like those dudes who just go up and overpower you, the Mike Evans of the world, right? Mm-hmm. Alshon Jeffrey back in the day.
Alshon Jeffrey, baby.
You know, Calvin Johnson, which Calvin Brandon Johnson Marshall. Pretty much. Yeah, well, Calvin Johnson is kind of a bad example because he did everything.
Yeah, that was LeBron James and pads,
yes, baby. Yes, but that kind of thing, like you think the Randy Moss, like the highlight plays where they just go up and over you. And then you got some physical separators. And by physical, I don't mean necessarily going to moss the shit out of you all the time. But what I like to attribute it to is a physical separator like Ja'Marr Chase. Ja'Marr Chase does really subtle physical movements right as the ball's getting ready to arrive, where he makes that extra, you know, half yard, foot, whatever separation he needs at the catch point to go, I got this, right? Mm-hmm. It's a subtle hand movement. It's a swipe of the arm away. It's maybe a little shoulder, you know, not offensive pass interference, NFL, fuck out of here. But that physicality where it's tough to get around him because he's built like a fucking running back. He's a tank. When I watched Drake London on film, I went, where is the elite trait? Where's the ability to ridiculously separate? Route running, it's okay. It can be good at times. Not ridiculous. Speed doesn't look like one of the 4.3 guys that you see out there. Like, good for his size, right? Probably runs in the 4.5s like Mike Evans, right? Like, he can run, but it's just not, it's not blazing speed, right? It's not. So, I'm pretty sure that's not how he's going to separate from NFL corners at the NFL level. When you go contested catch, he makes a lot of highlight reel, like one-handed stuff. There's all kinds of clips out there of him in training camp and running routes on air, making stupid catches. When you watch it, it's like, oh, man, I watched the film on him. Kind of looks like he's getting bodied by like a dude who's going to be bagging groceries or selling insurance. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
All right. Like, you thought he'd be a little bit more dominant there if you're 6'5 and, you know, 215.
You had a little Freudian slip there, my friend. You called him Drake London. You said Drake London when you started this.
No,
so I think shit. That I think I that did. I think that's I
what it is let's, for let's me.
Talk about that because that is the this guy's Drake London, but he runs routes like Ladd McConkey.
Oh man, I saw that. Do you see my fucking response to the tweet? For people who didn't see it, I somebody it right put that to shit.
That's why I was like, get him.
It's like Drake. He's not Drake London. He's Drake London and Ladd McConkey put together because they found one clip of him running a fucking 3-move route, you know, stop, go, slant, stop, whatever the fuck it was. And they act like Drake London could never run routes like that. I was reading the comments of it. Drake London's never broke anybody off like that. He's never ran routes. Drake London was a great route runner. He's also physical at the catch point. He can separate. I'd say between him and Tet, Drake London's less of an athlete. Tet's probably a better athlete overall. Probably going to run high or run fast and jump high, but I just don't see the separation skills. So when you say he's a route runner like Ladd McConkey, but he's the size of Drake London, he's them combined, I have a problem with it because it's disrespecting how good Drake London is. He's better than fucking Tet. He's better than Tet. And I immediately went and found fucking clips of Drake London at the NFL level snapping off all pro cornerbacks in his route running. The same way this fucking bozo just put a clip up of Tet fucking snapping off the garbage man, right? Some fucking poor kid out there playing cornerback. He was just like, I gotta cover this fucking guy. This sucks. Like, he lets the six-string wide receiver on his own team snap him off in one-on-ones. You don't think Pat McMillan can snap him off? Yeah, he can. So to see that shit, I had to go and Maddie, you know, putting fuel on the fire. Find all the clips of Drake London snapping off Marshawn Lattimore, beating my man Darius Slay last year with the Eagles, the Super Bowl champion Eagles, for a game-winning touchdown when we play the fucking Falcons. So he can do it too, and he's just as good and, in my opinion, better. So that part pisses me off. Anyway, so the easy, lazy comp for Drake London is always going to be Mike Evans or Drake London. For Tet McMillan, it's going to be Mike Evans or Drake London. And I fucking hate it. It's lazy. I don't see any of the things that I see when, like, how those guys win. I can clearly define it versus how Tet wins. It's just not the same. So I have major concerns about whether he can consistently win on the outside versus NFL cornerbacks. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't see a skill right now that translates. Now, this doesn't – I'm not saying I wouldn't draft Tet. Like,
no, right. He's your wide receiver four.
Yeah, I'll draft him. But the problem is people are hyping him up like he should be in the talks for the 101, 102, 103. Right. Wide receiver one off the board. Don't overthink this. He's an athletic freak who's 6'5". I don't give a shit that he's an athletic freak. How many of these athletic freaks have we come in, this prototype that we tell ourselves every fucking year, we're not going to do it. We're not going to do it, and we still do it. We still do it. We still let it. People are mad that we talked ourselves into Quentin Johnston and then how it turned out. You're like, fuck. Why did I let myself do that? I've seen this story before, and yet we went right back to the well. You want to tell me between QJ and Drake London, right? Like, the difference between those two is about the difference I have between Drake London and Tet right now.
Ooh, okay.
I want to be optimistic. I want to see him go in the first round. I want to see him get a good landing spot, but I don't know if that's going to happen. I want to see him improve on a lot of things, which can happen, but I don't know if it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I hope it's one of those guys that proves everybody wrong. And you're like, you know, the doubter's wrong. And you like him after a couple of years, like, damn. But as of right now, I just don't see anything that justifies me saying I got to do whatever I can to get Ted on. He's the only wide receiver in this class worth having. He's an athletic freak. I feel like we're just chasing Treylon Burks or Quentin Johnston all over again. And I don't want to do it. I've told myself for years I'm not going to fucking do it. God damn it, Maddie, this is the year that I actually follow through. I'm not going to do it. I would rather miss out on this opportunity than fucking spend the draft capital and be wrong. And if that ain't a definition of landmine, I don't know what is.
Yeah, I mean, I have been very disciplined. You know, I've been burned by N'Keal Harry. I've been burned by Kevin White. I've been burned by Rashad Perriman. I've been burned by Josh Doctson. I've been burned. So I am off
those products. Talk about a list of heartbreaks.
I've been there. I've seen it. And now I've disciplined myself to stay away from it. And then once you put that smell in my nose in relation to Tet, I'm probably going to miss out on a lot of Tet. And I was, you know, as high as everybody just a few months ago watching these explosion games. I will say this, and I've been looking for it. I haven't been able to find it on the internet. If someone has any type of access to a clip, a number of clips, a column that talks about it, I need to see how he did against Dakario Davis in practice. And if you don't know, Dakario Davis is a defensive back for Arizona, teammate of Tet McMillan, who's 6'4", 190 pounds. If Tet could beat him, then it would give me a little bit more confidence that he can beat, you know, the size, the mauler. But I haven't been able to really get any type of light shed on that practice matchup because Dakario didn't have, I don't know if he was hurt this year or if he didn't play up to standards, but he didn't come out of the draft when people thought he would when we were talking about NFL draft process during the NFL season. But I'd like to see how Tet did because Tet's 6'5", 212, and if he has tough time getting, you know, that separation against the bigger outside corners, well, he was going against one in practice. So there's definitely some evidence of success or failure out there somewhere because Dakario Davis is big, 6'4", 190 pounds.
I literally just typed it into X, and there is nothing but clips right here. in the offseason of Takario Davis locking up Ted McMillan.
Where did you... Dude, send me some of those on X. Because I literally have been looking it up, and I just... All that pops up once you put in Ted McMillan is just the no pads, between the legs catch thing, and then his highlights that we've just seen over and over and over and over again.
Just put it in the private chat here. We can pull it up and watch it together.
Oh, I do want to see this, because this for me was...
It's nuts.
Oh.
Look at him run with him the whole way. That's fucking crazy.
Yep. This is what
no
I need.
No separation at all, man. You got a 6'4 corner out there to glued to you.
And, is what I needed to see.
Here's the thing, man. I think I'm with you, man. Takario Davis was a name who was pretty high on the radar. And I don't know what happened, if it was injuries. I assume it was injuries this year that you didn't see him and he didn't build the hype. And now he's, you know, in the transfer portal, at least according to this tweet. I haven't followed it close enough to tell you for sure, so I may be wrong. But that's Takario Davis. That's a good corner. Here's the crazy thing. If this was just, man, he's a fucking great corner. That's why he could lock Ted up. Like, it's going to happen. It's his teammate. He knows everything. I put on the film of Tet, and for anybody who's a member of the Patreon, you know, you can go check it out on the screen recording of us watching it. He's getting locked up by Utah corners that I have no idea who the fuck they are. I've never heard their name. I've never seen them on a website about a potential 2026 pick or anything like that. A name to watch, nothing. I don't know who the fuck these people are. And they got Tet on clamp. Clamp. It's like, well, there's a route. Yeah. There was no separation. Or they had to throw a terrible jump ball to him, or a terrible back shoulder fade that had no chance of being completed. The shit shows up on film when we watched it. And this was without seeing Takario Davis clamp him in practice. So,
you know, it's yikes. Bad that I was searching Takario McMillan versus Takario.
Yeah.
You know what I was missing in this equation? I needed to not have Tet McMillan's name in there. Because it was just all about Takario Davis.
Just put Takario Davis's name in, and then you get the clips. It's big media trying to bury it, I think, Maddie.
Dude, it's big media, man. They're just trying to do it. But yeah, big media. I mean, this is why we do the show. Now we know.
Ooh. Yeah. Looks like he's potentially transferring to Washington. So, Takario Davis, there's your update. Who knew? I had no fucking idea till you brought it up. Love it. That's awesome. Yeah, there's a landmine though, Maddie. Fuck, we've taken forever on this show. All right, let's skip more landmines. Might find some in the rookie guide. I don't know if anybody went landmine mode. Like, took a write up and was like, "Fuck this guy, he's terrible." I wish that'd be fun. Let's talk a little bit overarching strategy if you're a contender or a rebuilder in this class. All right. So let's talk about it. If you're a contender in this class, Maddie, anything stick out to you that you're actively trying to do or you'd recommend that people try to do if you're a contender in this class?
Yeah, I'm trying to stock up. I'm trying to stockpile. If I have anything, we're talking super flex here. If I have anything outside of the top five, I'm looking to trade back and get multiple seconds, 2 seconds and a third. I just want to just absolutely bombard this running back class if I'm a contender. You're going to hit swing and miss on some, but you're going to hit. There's so many talented backs that I'm just looking to trade back and just not really nitpick on which ones I want. Instead of, you know, you could sit and pick and take your Cam Scadabo. That's fine. I would rather trade back and get me a LaQuint Allen, a Damian Martinez, and a Dylan Sampson. I want to move back and get me a DJ Giddens, a Devin Neal, and an RJ Harvey. I want to take the shotgun approach. So if I'm contending, and I know I'm not, you know, getting one of these quarterbacks, getting Travis Hunter, Luther Burden, I want to get back, get as many picks as I can in the second, third round, and just keep tapping that button for running backs, boom, 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 over and over and over again.
Let me ask you, though, if you had the ammunition and it wasn't going to hinder your team, like you didn't have to sell your soul to the devil, if you could trade up to one of the top picks, would you do it as a contender?
Yes. Yes, I would, because I do think it alleviates some of the pressure. If I can get, you know, if you can jump into the 101, of course, And then if you need to take a quarterback, it's always good process taking a quarterback. If you want to jump into the 103 and hope that Sanders and Ward go 1-2, and you could take Ginty with the third overall pick, I'm on board with that for sure. Like we said a couple episodes ago, you know, push up or stock up.
I'll say this, contender in best ball, I'm probably always stocking up, right? Like, I'm going to stock up. I don't think I'm trading up, even if it wasn't going to be too crazy. Like, I'd rather trade back. It's best ball. Yeah. If I'm in a lineup league, here's the probably the most interesting for me, most people's lineup leagues, right? If you follow anything that South Harmon does for a while, thanks to Sky Connor, so shout out to him for being one of the goats in the fucking dynasty space. This is something I learned from him a while ago and something that I definitely implement in how I practice. Roster construction in my lineup leagues is so fucking important. So important. Ridiculously important. Lineup leagues. This is why we coin phrases like any RB on a 53. I want my receivers to be so good and solid, and I want a nice group of five or six, kind of roster dependent, that like I can count on every one of these motherfuckers. And if I take an injury, whatever, a slow week, whatever, I can withstand it, but my wide receivers will dominate most people.
Yep.
My running back position and the rest of my roster is not going to be dedicated to a bunch of shitters that probably ain't going to play. I'm not going to roster a lot of these young fucking tight ends, right? Like, I want one tight end I can rely on, or I want to do this A-warp tight end life where it's like three really mid tight ends, right? I'm just going to pick one, and this is a dude I'm going to ride, or I'm going to stream tight end, which Coop has shown that you can fucking do. Thanks to his work, thanks to Eric's fantastic work on the waiver show, like you can stream tight end, and it, even in Dynasty, we don't even think that's possible, but you can, and it can be very effective.
Jonnu Smith anymore?
I'm not going to dedicate a lot of space to tight ends. I'm not dedicating a lot of space to fucking Malachi Corleys of the world. I just don't give a shit. I don't want you on my team. You don't fit my roster construction as a contender. What I do dedicate a shit ton of space to is running backs.
Yep.
Now, this class is absolutely fucking perfect for the simple fact that even in lineup leagues, you would say as a contender, you'd usually want to, get into that elite tier to have that safety net. I'm going to start Ashton Ginty. And I would say in most classes, you're probably right where you want to get up into that elite tier as a contender. This might be the one fucking class, Maddie, with the amount of running backs and the running back depths and the dudes that I think have realistic possibilities to come out of fucking nowhere on people's radar, that I probably still want to stock up in this fucking class. And normally I'd be the one advocating to trade up to go get, some blue chip prospect as a contender in a lineup league. But this fits my roster construction perfectly. Let me put all my assets and effort that I can into making my super flex position dynamite, to making my wide receiver positions dynamite. And then let me just load up on a fuck ton of running backs from this class. And we will play the lottery, right? Because they are going to be any RBs on a 53. There's going to be a lot of them. Here's the crazy thing, though. Not very often does Dare Agumbawale pop where you can be a fantasy league winner. You're going to get somebody who's going to give you a Bucky Irving type fucking season out of this class. I guarantee it. I guarantee there's going to be somebody who goes in the late fourth, fifth round plus, out of this running back class, that within the next couple of years, you're like, you believe that dude was a top 10 running back? Hey, nobody had him. I found free money. There's going to be dudes, probably multiple, in my opinion, who are going to have that.
Yeah, I mean, this could be the great, reset at running back. All these crusty fringe RB3s on a roster. It's just like your day might be numbered because there's just so many talented backs in the 25 class. It's absurd.
I'm with you, man. I think they're as a contender, I think you can go either way if you wanted to trade up, like go for it. But I think you can't go wrong as a contender in this class. The way you can go wrong is by sitting pat and thinking picking 110, 111, 112 is going to fix
you. That's right. That's right.
Don't do that shit. That's the way you go wrong. That's the one I can tell you. Don't do something, just not that.
Don't trade up to a spot where you have like a 50-50 shot at the top quarterbacks.
Be certain.
Be certain, because you could be left with your Schmenzer in your hands. As you know, if Ward's off the board, Sanders off the board, Ginty's off the board, and you're sitting there at the 105, and it's like, fuck. Shit, I kind of struck out here.
All right, let's talk about rebuilders. What are you doing in this class as a rebuilder? You got the 101, 102, 103, somewhere in that range already. locked. You may have multiple picks in the first round, hopefully, if you're a rebuilder. But what are you doing, Maddie?
I'm staying pat if I have a top three pick. I am doing the contender strategy. If I don't have a top three pick, I'm moving back and trying to gain as many picks as possible because I don't think I'm not one of these top four wide receivers away from contending. If you don't get Ward or Sanders, maybe Dart becomes worthy at this early junction. That could be a difference maker at Superflex. But you know, I was on America's Game today. I recorded with Eric, so that'll drop on Thursday, and we were talking about just the death that is a second round quarterback. There's Jalen Hurts, and then there's a laundry list of busts. So if Dart doesn't get into round one, you're kind of Foxville. So for me, even if I'm rebuilding, I just want a bunch of cracks at this thing. I want to click that running back button so many times that I can just expedite a rebuild by selling, you know, some of these running backs or maybe pivoting if some other things go right. Hell, maybe even trade for a prospect. So if you have, you know, a late first after, you know, you have the 103, you stay in pack, you make the pick, but then you have the 110. Trading back for a guy in the league that just maybe hasn't popped yet, plus a second, something like that. You know, a name that kind of comes to mind is, I don't know if it's probably not available now, but it was something you could have done this time last year. It's like trading back, getting a second and a JSN, you know, something, yeah, you know, like that.
I think that's probably a good analogy, is like trying to get a player on it. My overarching theme is, you know how much I love to trade down anyways, and even if I'm a rebuilder, I'm going to explore it. I will say that with this class and the depth of talent of running backs, the long shots that we kind of already talked about, which have the potential of popping, I'm definitely trading back in this class. Like, definitely.
Yeah.
Last year, if you're a rebuilder, it was like, fuck, I'd just take Caleb or Marv or J-Day or whoever it was. Mm-hmm. And if they explode in value, then to really accelerate the rebuild, I'm going to trade them away, right? I'm going to trade them away when their value's high. And that can work out for you. If this class is going to be led by Jenty at the running back position already, and this is kind of the de facto guy, and then we're talking about, listen, like, you got to draft first-round NFL quarterbacks in your Dynasty Superflex rookie drafts.
Right.
But, like, neither one of these guys really gets me, like, super juiced, where I'm like, oh, shit. Like, this could be a potential superstar at the next level. It's like, they're okay.
Yeah.
Like, I like them, but they just don't scream oozing with upside. Fantasy league winner. Like, warp difference maker. That doesn't happen. So if that's kind of the top of the class we're talking about, I really want to trade out of it. I really want to get as many shots. Now, here's the thing I will say, in my piece of advice when you do it, is definitely this year, be okay with taking less than what the 101 or 102 was worth in the past. Like, mm-hmm. Be okay with it. Obviously, you don't have to ask for it right off the rip, you know? See if you can get that haul. I don't know of a lot of people, even with this rookie hype building up, who are going to give you massive packages like we've seen in the past for some of these top rookie picks. It's probably not there. So be okay with, like, man, before I was getting like three firsts for the 101. Now I got to like scrape together and piece together all these other things to kind of even get in the ballpark. Be fine with that. Mm-hmm. Be fine with that. Ideally, what I want is 26 firsts and 27 firsts especially. But I want a shit ton of picks in the second, third, and fourth round of this class. I really do if I'm a rebuilder. Like, mm-hmm. You don't think the fourth rounders matter? Hit a fucking Bucky Irving and then tell me it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Like, I don't want to invest in a lot of running backs, right? Like, generally, as a rebuilder, that's antithetical to how I want to do it. But be okay with it this year. Be okay with, like, I'm going to take three or four of these guys. And as soon as somebody, you know, I take them in the second round, I take them in the third round, I take them in the fourth round, and this guy pops. As soon as somebody starts mentioning, go trade your first for this running back of this class who just popped, who was a fourth round rookie pick, bye. See you later. My original goal is to get 26 and 27 first. That's the way you can do it. That's the 4D move to get to him. Mm-hmm. You don't have to ask for him now. Take the player, take a lot of these running backs, take a lot of these poppers, and then go get your 26 and 27 first in season when they're like, oh, yeah, I'll definitely trade you a first for Taj Brooks. You see what he did last game? You know, 130 yards and three touchdowns. This is the next guy for the fucking Seattle Seahawks because Kenneth Walker's hurt, you know, or whatever it is. Knock on
wood. Right.
Like, don't want that shit to happen. But obviously, that's the kind of scenario that you'll get. So that's the shit, man. Load up on a shit ton of picks, even if they're in this class, and be okay taking running backs. But if you got the 101 and you're like, I'm going to get 3 firsts out of this, probably not. If somebody's out there and they're offering you the 111, the 204, the 3/3, and a 26-second, you're like, oh, this doesn't feel great. Trust me, this is the fucking class where I want to do that kind of deal, where I'm like, listen, I'm going to see if I can get better from fucking Steve over here, but if it doesn't work out, buddy, you're it. I'm hitting the button, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got to be okay with that kind of deal, because in the long run for your dynasty team, it's going to pay off. It's going to pay off if you're in a rebuilder. You just got to think further and further ahead, right? And really kind of plan this one out.
25 picks aren't going to get you a lot of good 26 capital, because the hype for 26 is already building, and we already know what this class is kind of shaping up to be. But you fast forward a few months, the players that you draft in the 25 class, as you mentioned, could then be your gateway to 26 picks. So don't be shy. Don't need that 26 draft capital now. You can get it by the time the 26 class is actually being drafted.
Yep. Yep. And we kind of talked a little strategy in the Discord about it, where people are like, oh, I don't know, my league's kind of on to this 27 pick thing. And Maddie's 1,000% right. As the dynasty community gets smarter and more informed, more people will be aware that, holy shit, Ryan Williams and Jeremiah Smith are in this class, and I just saw what they did as 18-year-olds dominating at the wide receiver position. I want them, too. I'm not letting you have my 27 picks. That's fine. Like Maddie said, when we're putting fucking points on the field in August, September, October, November, like, we're in nut-cutting time, and that fourth-round rookie running back you drafted this year with that 25 pick is popping off. You don't think they're going to trade their 27 first if they're contending?
Absolutely.
They're fucking doing it. They're doing it, man. You told somebody week 16, Bucky Irvin's on the block, who wants him for the last 2 weeks of the fuck fantasy football playoffs. There's a contender out there who would have gave you a 27 first, and, you know, I'll give you a 28 first, I'll give you a 29 first. Like, here's first. And then they're all years out, right? I just want to win this motherfucker. So they'll do it. They'll do it. Trust me.
100%.
All right, Maddie, there it is, an hour. A lot of us bullshitting, but that's the way we do it, especially when we miss a week. We got a lot of catching up to do. Anything going on in the world that the people need to know on your end?
No, just make sure you're tuning in. Everything that we got going on right now, South Harmon FF YouTube, SouthHarmonFF.com, South Harmon on all wherever you get your podcasts. Just make sure you're tuning in. We're just getting started. We're going to be ramping up heavy soon, and it starts with the rookie guide that's going to be dropping very, very soon.
I can't wait, man. We're just like the combine, right around the corner. around the corner for this baby being ready and launched. You guys can check it out now, just in case you're not aware. Pre-orders are out for it. You can go to southharmonff.com. DynastyGuide25.com too. If you're a little bit sneakier, I'll put the links in the description if you want to check that out. Easy click for you. But pre-orders are out. It is on sale for pre-order. So if you're one of the early ones, you get it cheaper than everybody else. But after that baby goes to February 23rd, sorry, full price. But it is a living, breathing guide too. So as things get adjusted, as we get combine, as we get NFL draft capital, and we get more and more news, it will be updated. It will stay updated and active. We will be active with it. So living, breathing, not just, hey, this is what it is, and we don't adjust anything new, but we want to get it out for all those super degens who listen to the show, who love having their NFL rookie or their rookie dynasty drafts before the NFL draft.
Hell yeah.
Like me, like a purist. like God purist intended. Today. No, Maddie, that's all I got. It was good to see you again. It's good to do the show. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. But Maddie, what are we doing for the outro song, buddy? You know it's that time.
So I'm going to go with a little bit of a fun song here. It was brought up today. My kids had me, you know, they're home from school this week. So they kept asking me, Daddy, come play, Daddy, come play. So I got 3 daughters. I was roped into playing a little bit of Barbie. But they gave me Ken. So I want to go out. I'm Just Ken by Ryan Gosling.
I'm Just Ken. I love it, man. I love it. Any girl dad out there is going to know that we had to suffer through that Barbie movie many, many times. I have a t-shirt, actually, Maddie. A little funny story about that one. Before we say goodbye.
Yeah.
It says, welcome to the Mojo Dojo Casa House.
Hell yeah. That is the ultimate bro.
Or for my daughter's birthday. Yeah.
Hell
yeah. She got the
yeah.
awesome
tonight, cause I'm Dojo. Just kidding. Anywhere
else I'd be taken. All right, man. Joey Ken. I'm just Ken. Ryan Gosling, Maddie, good to see you again. Love you, everybody. We'll see y'all back here same time, same place next week for the next episode of the Chess Dynasty Football Podcast. We are out. She sees a friend, but will it take for her to see the man behind the tent and fight for me?
I think we should put our frickin' constitution back.
Yes.
That's a great idea.
This is a real hornet's nest in here. Watch your flank!
I got shot?
It's impossible! Are there real weapons here?
No. I wanna know.